This is the 1UP Radio Network. And now, GFW Radio.
Hello? Hello? Attention, if you can hear this, please do not turn this off. My name is Dr. Norbert Jeske. I'm a scientist. I am recording this from the year 2152. And we have made a very important discovery. We've discovered a tape here. It's labeled GFW Radio, and we believe that it holds the key to fixing everything that's gone wrong in the world for the last 100 years. What we're planning on doing, my robot friend and I, is we're going to take this tape. We're going to use the time machine that we've built, and we're going to go back. We're going to go back and post this in hopes that once it's up and people can hear this podcast now that they couldn't before, that it will fix everything. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. May humanity live on.
What is with these people who keep walking by and looking in here? Go away, we're podcasting. We hate you.
Love, Jeff.
We're recording!
Ryan, are you done with your ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. We're all sitting here waiting for him to stop chewing so we could podcast. And thanks for bringing stuff down for us,
yeah,
by the way.
Really consider it.
You could have brought 4 Sundays for us.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell's right?
Take two.
I have an important question. What's the difference between solitaire and spider solitaire?
This Spartan suit smells of McDonald's and ashtrays, but the cosplay beauties are calling in. Unfortunately, only men in uniform have a shot, or so I'm told. BMX gear spray painted green, since fancy schmancy duds are a dead giveaway.
Fetishes aren't for sale in this freak show. If you didn't duck it, they won't fuck it, or so I'm told. And all the while I'm waiting for Chris Hansen and his Dateline camera crew to come crawling out from under the costumes and interview me as if I'm not, you know, gussied up in a gimp suit and pretending to pass muster as a spaceman. Ain't nobody cosplays as a 6-legged SimCity building with a TV antenna on top. That's right, I've got you made. And I've got to get Aunt Gertie's tracheotomy amplifier going again before I'm found out for a fraud.
Asphyxiation might make this fantasy final. I say that's Luna, and she's no small moon. A whopper wearing a fanny pack, only it's halfway unzipped and showing skin. It's hollowed out and yet it's still stuffed full.
It's a dadgum gun girdle is what it is. These waist belts happen to hang right where the girth rests, so give them a false front and voila, fucking lie. You're camouflaging the gun as a great wad of cash. She calls me Cyrax. Nice Cyrax costume, she says, except I'm Master Chief, not Mortal Kombat, damn it. No more than a Bobo is Goro with a Death Star, a moon, and a counterfeit fanny purse. She aims to mingle and mix, and in my head I hear Akbar hollering, it's a trap! It's a trap! Besides, I've got 3 arms, not 4. This is neither what I wanted, nor what my ego's paying the price for. Is it cosplay or is it Craigslist? The shiny Call of Duty commercial or the shit I saw on my TV? Is it Liberty City or is it death? And if the latter, then where's the confounded quick load key for this whole fucking catastrophe? And when I'm all head up, it hits me. Really, what am I so ashamed of? Like these looky-loos in silk Spider-Man shirts have reason to laugh. They're just jealous. They're gals on the make, and I'm on the prowl. Misfit Chief chasing Cortanis and Ortus and Leia Organis. Working the sci-fi fantasy buffet line while pork-bellied Goku suck in their guts and growl. As if willpower worked like a Bowflex and will instigate a Scion transformation. They're better off strapping belts across their man boobies in homage to Omano-san. Fall before my cardboard plasma sword and hail to the chief!
Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Games for Windows, the official magazine. And I'm here with the other 4 official editors. And they are
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean Elliott,
Sean Malloy,
Robert Ashley.
Oh, I remember when we did our first one, it was just kind of like
well, we got to do it, I guess.
Well, we definitely, it was one of those things that was like imposed upon us.
Right.
Like, now your duties also include this. They got this whole podcasting thing now.
Right.
This crazy internet.
So mine was usual skepticism. It was like, why the hell would anyone want to listen to us around, like, bullshitting into a microphone?
They might be wondering that this very second. Right. Why the hell am I?
I've learned to love that, though.
You're going to enjoy what I say.
Damn it, boy. You're going to listen to me.
Sit down. I got a funny voice for you.
Yeah. Just let me
So I think we didn't want to do it. We kind of resented it because we had a magazine to make. So right. We would drag our asses down here. And I don't know. I personally like it a lot, too. I mean, for one thing, it helps us focus during the week. Like, now I definitely think about things. And we all do this, I think. Oh, we got to bring that up on the podcast, right? Yeah. We'll be talking during the week and things will come
up. It's an extra space to discuss.
Of course, then we
things.
Come down here and just, like, make fun of the French, so.
Also, I get a little derailed.
It was on our list, too.
When we started the whole thing, we also weren't sure, were we going to need a schedule that we're going to, like, operate from? You know, how tight was everything going to have to be? Would it be subjected to editing afterward?
Right.
How is it just going to work?
Every week, how's this going to work?
Yeah. Right. And I think what happened is we just, like, talked and talked. We don't care. We never edit it. We don't care. If we say something, it sticks. And that seemed like just to set its own rule. But over time, I think that's become, like, a strength.
Yeah.
I end up liking it. And there's no, I don't know. I mean, compared to, like, it would be really easy for us to be overly concerned about what's happening on any given minute of airtime.
Yeah, I just
and just
can't.
Like have it just be duller because of it, just a little more sterile.
I've right, been on other podcasts where it gets stopped like mid sentence because somebody blew something, and I just don't want to do it that way. It's just too.
Can't do it. You know,
wait, can we edit that? Let's edit that out.
Yeah,
it's like years ago. I used to listen to the Howard Stern show all the time for that exact reason because it was just kind of like stream of consciousness. They just kept flowing, and then
I think that's what it is for me too. And it's like all the radio I like is just like.
People
that's
talk.
What the point of it is.
And we edit the magazine is just like, you know, edit.
Maybe so, that's it too. Yeah.
So
reacting.
It's like, we don't want to edit anything else. Just come in and like just.
This is refreshing. Yeah. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. We have no advertisers to offend here on the podcast.
So, Ryan.
And if we did, we'd offend them.
Ryan, how has your perspective changed, if it's changed, about podcasting?
We've gotten a lot better. I mean, we used to have a lot of dead silences and. Mm-hmm. Kind of awkward moments back when we first started.
Now, I think we tried to be. Don't you think we were like more formal? We tried to have a more formal structure.
Yeah, and then we figured out that didn't work with us.
I kind of am curious to go back to those first ones and listen.
I'm afraid.
Oh, I so don't want to do that.
I think they're bad.
Yeah.
I do want to say right before we came down here, you know, when the new issue comes in to the office, I get this minuscule box with like 8 copies. So we each get one, and one of them, I went into the men's room right before we came down here.
Know who it was because you
gave
them
out. One of the freaking
out.
Precious issues is sitting in the men's room like all wet.
It's all half, it's like half soggy.
On the sink. And not only that, they were like, okay, it's not so wet that I should throw it away, but it's like more wet than I want to
it
be able to like touch it again.
Bathroom, yeah.
So they just left it. Maybe some other dude doesn't really care about all this piss water on it will read it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and was that, I mean, it was probably sink water, but who's going to take that chance?
EGM, who was it, One Up Yours, Retronauts, who did that?
Who did we give issues to other than the five of us?
Brian Itahar, EGM,
Damien. It was one of those two guys.
Oh, shit, they're dead.
And did anyone else?
Crispin Boyer might have grabbed one.
One of those guys took our new issue into the men's room and then peed on it.
Escalation. Man,
yeah. The next EGM that we get, I'll tell you.
Use it as a breakdance mat.
A game that actually I was kind of surprised by that I don't totally hate. It's a very Max Payne-ish, but El Matador.
El Matador.
It's just the Matador.
That'll make a good box quote. This is a game I don't totally hate. Darren Gladstone.
They'll put a sticker on it.
Yeah. Cover up the other sticker on the cover right now.
Yeah, we don't have enough stickers on our boxes. On game boxes. We got to work on that. We got to work on our sound bites.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have to hone our skills on these podcasts to come up with like a better.
Right. So you might want to hone it better than a game I don't totally hate.
I'll come up with one right now.
Dump on the box.
Hi ho, this is Darren.
Just Cause was the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's another one of those games that was just like, it it's it doesn't totally suck, but at the same point, there's so many flaws that keep it from being great.
Once again,
doesn't totally suck as a sticker and could be worth $20.
I think this is why we don't show up on Game Boxes. What about gamers who you've been working all day, you've messed around with your significant other, they've gone to bed. Now you've got a couple hours of game time in. Are you going to want to play the Wii?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Are you? You know what? Seriously?
Yeah, huh?
I'm not being skeptical. I want to know.
There's a Zelda game on the Wii.
Yeah, but you know, so, I understand, you're coming from the fanboy perspective.
You're a closet retronaut, though, dude. You're actually one of the retronauts.
He's not even closet. He's actually
one of the retronauts.
He's like Lord of the Retronauts. He's like Captain.
Lord of the Retronauts. That's when it's time to kill yourself. Look, he's not even smiling. He's got his feelings.
Con artist formerly known as CGW on furlough. The same bimbos in bedclothes hawking games for Windows. Far from the finest. FCC finest with peanut Linus. Losers listen on Linux. Aghast at our podcast served with sick twist. Think pretzel vendors with hepatitis bringing more mustard than Midas. I'm no nerd. That stuff sinus minus pressurized air sprayed on personal computing appliance.
Dear Jeffrey Green, I currently have 7 mature water bottle cultures of psilocybe semelanciata, I believe you say, a.k.a. Liberty Caps. Is it okay if I send you guys at GFW 3/8 of them? The package would be to Ziff Davis Media, Jeff Green. I'll look it up in the mag. That's good. Thanks, fella. That won't get me fired. By the way, I love the November issue.
Right in the middle of the drug.
By the way, I love the November.
That's his way of saying thanks.
Yeah, issue was spelled ISHU, by the way, issue. It won't have my address, and you can all trip balls and do a special podcast.
You please, just listen to it.
Please, Jeff, I'm begging you to let me send you psychotropic drugs.
Woo!
Ding.
It's weird. We actually have like a lot of strangely overqualified people writing for CGW.
Yeah,
a couple lawyers.
We have 2 lawyers. We have an actor, a doctor, a CIA involved person.
Operative.
Really? I guess you can't tell us who that would
no,
be.
No, we can't.
No,
we
secret.
Can't tell you. We'd have to kill you.
And there's one.
But
other.
The CIA came to our office to ask us questions. I probably can't even say that. I'm a dead man now. I'm just kidding. The CIA didn't come to our office.
I think as long as you don't name names, you're okay. I think. Don't quote me on that.
You know,
I love you, Mom.
I always wanted to have somebody like from the CIA or some other organization.
Do some background
forces
checks on you.
Or,
no. This dude was scary.
No, but I mean,
he probably did do some background checks.
Play games like Splinter Cell or like Metal Gear. And then just tell us, okay, is this at all like
don't you think they're playing them and laughing?
Do you know how to kill people with a flick of your wrist like Sam Fisher does?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy, you talked to him too, didn't you, Ryan? Yeah. This guy came in he's wearing the dark suit and, you know, kind of had like the thick neck and the crew cut. But he had seemed like a desk job, though. That could have just been a cover.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Probably one of their big hired killers. Yeah. But he just looked like, you know. Did he intimidate you?
Well, I mean, he didn't. He was kind of like humorless.
Yeah.
Really?
It was funny because
He was the stereotype?
Yeah, you couldn't make.
Oh, yeah. When I talked to him on the phone, we were like references for this writer getting this job.
Right.
And
don't
he,
say his name.
And the
we'll
guy, when I talked
Fred.
To the guy on the phone, he was like, you know, I'm going to be there, you know, at 3:00 or whatever it was. He didn't even ask the address or anything.
Yeah, he didn't need it.
He'd already.
He had just helicoptered in.
And when I talked to him, he asked if there was anybody else I could talk to. I'm like, oh, you know, there's Jeff Green and Darren Gladstone upstairs. And he's like, yeah, Green and Gladstone. Like he just kept referring
to he took out my file. Yeah, I didn't dare make any jokes because he was asking me, drug use, you know, kind of things. And it's like, you know, every time I did LSD, he never wanted to do it with me. You know, I wouldn't say anything like that because I didn't want it to go in my file.
Uh-huh. No, I don't know anything, sir. That was weird, though.
Wow, that's funny.
And how did we get on that?
I don't know.
CGW, no, awesome. People with awesome real jobs.
Oh, right. Yeah, so Bruce Jarek, brain surgeon. Yeah. So every time, you know, every once in a while, he'll be like, be late on an article, and it's like, how do you, you can't, you know, because he got some, you know, because he got involved in something in work. Will be
can't
the excuse.
Really fault
and it's
him
like,
for
you
it.
Can't, yeah.
He's
okay, if you
brains.
Were like inside somebody's brain, yeah. I guess you could be late on your Please Rise of Legends review.
Yeah. I would say yes.
There was a moment at E3. I was hanging out one night there with Bruce Jarek and with Eric Nayer, one of our other writers. He's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they got on the topic of like Russian literature. So I'm sitting there, and like the doctor and the lawyer are talking about Russian literature.
And I bet you felt pretty like, stupid there with your pile of DC comics.
Pretty much.
You know what's dried up around here are the Warhammer books. We were getting like new Warhammer books every day.
There's a different Slayer for every day.
Oh yeah, it was always Slayer.
Steven
yeah,
Slayer.
Rat Slayer, yeah. Dragon.
They ran out of things to slay. Was the problem? That's
Here's
why we
a
got
good
no
story,
more books.
Dude. I sent
Ant
like
Slayer.
We got all those books in. So hopefully the person that sent those isn't listening.
Oh, no, we appreciated them.
We love those books. But,
okay, I collected them all, and after I read them, of course. And
yeah,
I put them all in a big box to send to my friend Rory. He did some illustrations for us back when.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have the freelance budget to pay him, so I said, I'm going to hook you up, dude. I got you a box of really cool gaming stuff. And it was like all those books. Ogre
now, that's
Slayer,
where they went.
Troll Slayer, Skaven Slayer, Dragon Slayer, like whatever, Chode Slayer. So I put them all, I sent them all, and he gets
mighty.
And he's like, what the hell is this? Like, he had to take it. He didn't open it in the living room. He didn't want anyone, like, know, like watching him open it because he had no idea what was in it. So he takes it into his room and then opens it up. He's like, what the hell is this? But he's so, hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. So he takes these things down to, like, the local game shop where they got, like, a commercial on TV. You know, they scraped up all their money to say that they had a TV commercial.
Right.
It's like, anime, manga, comics, games, manga. Manga. Yeah. Anyway, so he goes down there and he takes the bus, cold ass. You got to think of Minneapolis weather. And he gets there, this game shop with this box of stuff, like, hey guys, man, maybe you want to buy this at the counter. And they're like, we're not going to buy that, dude. And there's all these guys sitting in the back at the tables where they play these games, the Warhammer and stuff, you know. They all come up, flock around it, you know, and like they take a look and kind of toss them aside, like, well,
oh, man.
Like, Reddit, that one didn't look so good, Reddit. And then so he basically, this is the moral of this fucking rad story, is that he had to take that full box and get back on the bus right home with box of that shit.
I would have just left him on the sidewalk. So that's how we Where paid him today? For the work he did for our magazine?
Thanks for nothing. Here's your book.
Let that be a lesson to you if you want to freelance for us. You're going to get a box of books that even Warhammer fans don't want. But hey, please submit your work to us. We're happy to have you.
Oh,
damn.
I do have to say that I did play some Team Fortress 2 with you. With, I don't know what night that was in the last few nights. And I was laughing my head off. I had to move the mic away from my head because he was playing as Ralphie, basically. And he sucks these guys in so bad. You have this innate ability to get people totally mad at you and want to boot you from the server. And in fact, you did. You got booted. I was like, I'm not playing with Sean anymore.
You should like record some of this
but
stuff.
But it's like, since I got the Banana Riders, I can count on everyone to follow me to the next server. it's like the perfect scenario.
You should have a roving TeamSpeak audience.
That's the problem.
It is very, like, Andy Kaufman-esque performance.
When I'm trying to do a good one, and then someone comes in and they like fuck it all up because they're like, I want to be on in this joke. I want to be on in this, joke.
Right. That's why I was moving the mic away. You can't laugh because then you're,
yeah,
then the guy realizes he's the punchline.
Yeah.
You want him to actually keep getting mad.
That one, there were two perfect instances that night. The one, the guy was just like immediately irate and he was like yelling that, you know, they need to send you to Iraq. You need to see Iraq and stuff. And I was like, so then I was like, all right, let's run with it. So another thing, they were accusing me of being insanely drunk. So I told him that I participated in the Panamanian invasion, that I was too old.
They also said you had Down syndrome.
To go to Iraq. Yeah. And then I did the, I told him that I was drinking antifreeze and all this other shit. And they were believing that.
Yeah, they're
going crazy.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you just play it up. And then the perfect combination then is when there's a girl on the server, because you immediately start, because there's, whenever there's a girl in any shooter, she's got like an entourage of white knights. And as soon as you say something to her, they're all like, yeah, who's this fucking retard? And then I'll just be like, oh, yeah, go ahead and call me that. My own grandma calls me retard. You think it's going to hurt my feelings anymore? I get called that every day, you know, whatever. And so eventually you start building simultaneously, pissing off the guys and building, you know, sympathy with the girl. And so it's perfect. You're creating this, like, awesome divisive wedge. And then they just keep going off. And then suddenly the girl's like, come on, guys, just stop. Leave him alone. Just leave him alone. And then you just build in on that, and it just goes from there. Like, her name was Princess Zelda. And, you know, you sound like a real princess to me. And then the guys make fun of that. Shut the fuck up. And then she's like, this is sweet, guys. Shut up. You know, and like, sometimes it just.
That is the most manipulative and awesome thing I've ever heard of.
That's a great tactic. You know, when Sean first started working at he'd been at EGM for a long time, and then you left, then you were freelance, and then you came back and you worked for us. But early on, when Bully came out, were you already at our magazine, or were you?
Oh yeah, that was recent.
Okay, that was recent. Okay. But I didn't have like total clear insight into your personality until Bully came out. Cuz when Bully came out, or right when it was before or whatever, somebody at 1UP.com sent around an email saying like, hey, we're looking for a good feature to do online with the Risa Bully. So if you have any good stories about like when you were bullied when you were little, or if you were a bully, just send them and we'll work with that. And so people wrote things I wrote about like getting picked on or whatever. There were like a bunch of like, here's how I was bullied.
I took toilet paper and I put it all over the tree, Sean, in front of someone's house.
Right. But Sean writes this like 5,000 word manifesto of like all the ways he bullied people growing up. And it was fucking harsh shit. I was like, he was a bully. Man, this dude was mean.
God damn it, that card is worth your money.
The subset for me, I have to say, the question, I mean, you know, coming from EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly, sure, console mag at a point, I'd been first and foremost a console gamer who became a PC gamer, and then this ties into the other part of his question, which is that what about these games where both groups can play together? And it was actually in the Dreamcast with Quake Arena.
Quake, yeah.
Where we already were coming together is when I started making the switch. So I started playing that, and I saw the advantage that the guys with the, you know, both on the Dreamcast with mouse and keyboard and on the PC had. And then so I went and I bought those peripherals, forced myself to use them. And then after that, I was like, wow, this is a nice way
to
play.
This is real gaming.
So then I started upgrading my computer, and from then, you know, the rest was history, and I continued to play both.
Pockets cold, I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window, and always seems to stall. Even if it worked, I would probably stay, 'cause your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Pockets cold, I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window, and always seems to stall. Even if it worked, I would probably stay, 'cause your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Dear Sean, I PM'd, you still ain't responding. I left my blog MySpace page and AIM name at the bottom. I posted twice back in autumn, you must not have saw 'em. The problem is a problem with the server or something. Sometimes I type URLs too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, fuck it. What's been up? How's your healer? My guild's good too. I'm about to be the leader. If I roll a healer, what spells I need for? I'm a game with hotkeys. I heard about your griefing ban in the GM Nazis. See, I had a friend kill his alt over some NPC who didn't want him. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I even got the podcast skit you did with EGM. I pressed print screen on your post and your pictures, man. I like the shit you did on 1UP2. That Nihon shit was scat. Anyways, I hope you get this in Cali. Hit me back just to chat. Truly yours, your biggest mouthpiece. This is Ralphie.
Hot pockets cold, I'm wondering why.
still ain't clicked add. I hope it's in your plans. I ain't mad. I just think it's fucked up you make fun of fans. This week you wouldn't talk to me in TeamSpeak. Not that I need you. No, you didn't have to TK and teabag top a pea shoot. That's my screen name, man. This is more than a hobby. I waited in the Hobble Hotel lobby for you. 4 hours, and you just said no vacancy. That's pretty menstrual, man. What, did you need a My Doll? I need support. I played support and resupplied you. I ain't that sad, though. If you were me, you'd have cried, too. Remember when we met in Moshter? You said if I'd revive you, you might invite me? See, I'm just like you in a way. I never lived alone, neither. Grandma buses me to the theater in her beater. And nothing's nearer than the issue spit in your podcast. Ever the outcast, I tattooed your byline on the skyline of my fat ass. You gotta hit me, man. I'll be the hippest fan you'll ever lose. Sincerely yours, Ralphie. P.S. We should grief together, too.
Hot pockets cold, I'm wondering why I logged on to Steam at all. Hover around, won't reach the window, and always seems to stall. Even if it worked, I would probably stay, 'cause your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Dear mister, I'm too good to go to Sizzler with my sister. This'll be the last Twitter you get from a listener. It's been 6 seconds and still no word. I don't deserve it. I know you're able. My cable connection's working perfect. So this is me, a live voice. I hope you hear it. I'm in burnout now on the byway doing 50. I drive automatic because I had it with shifting. Hey, Sean, I drank a fifth of prune juice. You dare me to fart? Now it's too late. I'm on 10K OPEC date, so spectate. Shit. All I wanted was a rapper signed in fire sauce. I hope you know I hate liars. You lie lots. I love you, Sean. We might have made music. Think about it. You ruined it now. I hope you lag and can't frag without it. And when you can't frag, I hope you lag and can't brag about it. I hope your stats are whack and you can't do jack about it. Hey, Sean, shut up, bitch. It's only more gas. Hey, Sean, that's my grandma screaming that we're lower class. The bag's gagging and nagging. See, I just tore ass. 'Cause if we suffocate, we'll suffer more. And then we'll die, slow or fast. Well, I gotta go. I've almost passed the last blast. Oh, shit, I forgot. How am I supposed to send this shit out?
Hello.
Hello.
Any of you guys play UT3 demo since last time we met?
Not me.
Not bad.
No one.
Next topic.
End of topic.
What do you got to say about it, Sean? Are you liking it more, hating it more?
What's your beef, man? I'm not liking it. It's about the same. It was one of those cases where when I first turned it on, I realized I wasn't that into it, but I didn't know why. And the more time I spend with it, the closer I think I'm getting. But before that, there's just some like general like corny, cheesy things about it, which isn't necessarily so bad. But for some reason, every time I put the game down, like, that's Greered. Which is like gross and weird.
Gross and weird. Yeah. This is Sean's new verbal of the day.
Yeah. That's Greered, man. No, but part of it is so ridiculous. You get in and these characters and people are hitting the taunts and you hear, F yeah! And that's not me censoring myself. That's what it
says.
They
say F yeah?
F yeah! F yeah! And then you hear, whoa, I'm on fire! And then, you'll feel that one in a moment. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Haven't they been doing that in that series like for forever, though?
It's very much like Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For some reason, this voice actor right now,
headshot.
You hear him over and over again, yeah. But then, like, there's just this ridiculous joke. You just go around and you just mash that key the whole time, and your face pops up in the corner, and then you hear the taunt. So, like, I'll get in there and just do that. I'll bind it to a key that I can hit with my pinky all the time, like shift. And so you just unleash this constant torrent of, yeah, I'm on fire. And in addition to that, people really get mad.
Yeah.
They're like, shut up. And then they eventually, because there's no, like, for some reason, I have never been in a UT3 demo server with an admin. No one can kick me. And they eventually, like, and it says it to both teams, and they're like, I'm out of here. That's it. I'm out of here. And people get so mad. But I tell them, like, this, no, it's creating an emotional high point when I play. And they're like, dude, you're not even doing
doing it when you're getting a kill. You just keep fucking pressing the button.
There are
then my response is, F yeah!
There are people listening right now who are like, God, Sean's an asshole. You're like going around like fucking with people till they leave your game.
This isn't new.
Why did they put that in the game?
Do you at least get to select your taunt, or is it the random taunt? Like
it's
one
random.
Of those poison, like target or something, where you press the hand.
And there's another default in there, whereas it's like text to voice, and if you have that on, anytime someone types something, you hear the Stephen Hawking voice come in and repeat it. So the first time you play,
not literally,
it's
Stephen
just
Hawking.
This like incessant torrent of babbling computers. You know, what the hell is going on? But it, it's like
sorry,
people,
you
talking,
album,
people talking about video
go
cards
to
and
hell.
Stuff. You know, creates an emotional high point. F yeah, emotional high point. And just like, so you spam that and you double up with the text.
That actually sounds really fun.
That does sound fun.
It is, like, I remember, can spell
it
the
is for 3 minutes.
I remember when I was playing Team Fortress 2 with you, I guess it was a couple weeks ago now, and you and I were both, we kept just run the whole level. We weren't, you and I weren't even talking about how we were going to do it. We were just both doing it. We kept hitting the medic key nonstop. Medic, yeah. Medic, medic.
That's not even as bad.
But I got yelled at because I was doing it, and this was after you left, and I was a medic. So I kept doing that, and then some guy goes, "You asshole, you are a medic." Why are you? And I said, "Yeah, I'm saying I am one. I'm saying I'm available. That's why I'm doing
just
it.
Just announcing
Medicare,
services.
Medic."
I will not play games with strangers anymore online. I just don't. I just won't. I mean, I'll play, if I play Halo 3, I'll play with the guys here. If I play Madden, I'll play with like Luke Smith. Only person I'll play. I only play friends. Drives me nuts how immature online gaming is. It's very, it's an immature world.
What's your take, as Robertson, in your recent time with Xbox Live?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think you put a microphone in front of somebody, and the first thing they're going to say is, fuck,
yeah.
Fuck, fuck, shit, fuck. You know, like, there's just like
caveman's first words.
Yeah, it's like it's like once they realize that they can intrude upon your experience in some way, uh-huh. You know, it just becomes like part of the aggression of playing an online game for some
right.
people.
And then they get pro tips on how to do it from Sean Elliott.
I mean,
on,
it's very
on,
different
on our
though.
Podcast.
You've given
well,
me an
yes,
opportunity
you do
to
it with subtlety.
Myself. Well, it's not necessarily subtlety. Yes. There's something different. Like, I mean, people, I have heard compare what I do to bullying. And, you know, I was trying to defend it and say, no, bullying is not what I do. Bullying would be the equivalent of when you take someone and you're like, dude, why is your dick so small? Why is your dick so small? Push him a few times. No, why is your dick so small, dude? You know,
hey,
or like,
alone.
What are, you know, and you start doing something like that. You know, you pick on someone and you're specifically exploiting some insecurity they have, some difference or something like that. Whereas, I mean, you know, some people think it's indefensible. In my mind, it's the difference between that and, say, discovering that when my helicopter is loaded with teammates and I ram it into a friendly tank, the team kills are counted against the tank driver rather than me, the helicopter pilot, and we can all punish him, which gets him kicked immediately from the server. That's like both me experimenting with the way that the game is designed. It's also having fun, but it's anyone.
I love these rationalizations.
It's not like saying, like, let's get this dude because I think he might be gay. Let's get him out of this server. It's like, hey, here's a random dude driving a tank. This is funny because he's just driving a tank. And it's not the same for me. I constantly say this. Hey, if someone's walking by the street and I got a bag of milk and hot dog chunks and I'm like, this will be funny to throw on someone. I don't do that. I don't just throw it on someone who walks by, right? Because I think, you know, getting kicked because the stakes are different. That's literally humiliating, right? It's, I mean, if someone were to throw some shit on you on the street, it's, you know, it's upsetting and there are very real consequences. You got to go clean up and this and that. In the game, I got kicked from a server. Like, you just join again. You go to another one, you know? So it's like, I don't do it all
so
the
what,
time.
What, I know you do, I know you do, and I haven't really talked to you about this, but what is your motivation for this? Because I understand, like, you do go out and like to have "quote unquote" fun with people. What are you really getting out of it besides just kind of pissing people off?
Do you think it's fun? It just makes me laugh when it happens. And it, like, I mean,
but don't I mean I, you know I you know how much I love you, but I mean, don't you think you're part of the problem?
I don't think it's the same. I think it could be a part of a problem, but I think it's not the same. Like, say again, if I'm in a server and I'm doing, you know, like a character or something, a Ralphie character, and now at least Robert and Jeff have heard it. You know, it's not the same as these guys that are calling out someone whose name is Gay Boy.
I do agree. Right. It's different.
It is different. Like,
yeah,
supercharged terms over and over again. You know,
I agree. But you are. I mean, at the same time, you are still kind of you're not being as harsh as maybe someone saying gay boy or whatever, but
from my experience listening to Sean now, what it seems to me is more like he's kind of, I mean, on one hand you could say he's being an asshole, but on the other hand, I think actually what he's doing is he's ferreting out the assholes. He sort of throws these things out here, and the real assholes are the ones who respond to him. And then Sean just baits them more. So
that's the voice stuff is always that.
Right. So he's kind of calling out the guys who are likely to call other people retards.
Gotcha. If someone is like, hey, could you be quiet? I'm just trying to play. Then they're no fun to mess with.
Yeah.
It's the guy that immediately starts screaming, dude, you sound like you got a dick in your throat. That's the guy that's exactly the guy that you go for.
You're looking for the closet
but it's
ass.
Not like, I'm not like the Punisher of video games, you know, like the Vigilante.
I think mostly you're trying to create a surreal experience for other people. I mean, I kind of dig that. Something in me would like to go online and play a game and run into some kid who keeps on talking about how his grandmother got him a video game so he can make friends and have this like really weird experience, that you never really have. Yeah, I mean, I guess in general, I think gamers could do a better job of vetting the community. I think we could use a little bit of like, we're cooler than you. You know, gamers should be, you know, we're cool. We're above getting online and, you know, randomly, assaulting people with middle school insults. And
But of course they're not. I mean,
yeah, well, you know, but I want to be in the club that is too cool for that. You know,
right.
Where is
but
that?
There's, I mean, right. The gaming community is a subset of humanity at large. So you've got your assholes, you've got your nice people,
And I also think it's the type of game you're playing. I mean, I imagine when you play WoW, it's a very different experience than when you're playing a Team Fortress
It is. I mean, in a game that is not competitive but is actually cooperative, in general, you will find, and MMOs in general tend to attract this is not the 13 to 25-year-old male. You know, it's a probably a greater cross-section of humanity, so chances are, you're just not going to get that kind of locker room mentality like mm-hmm. you will more often in a shooter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, it seems like every match I played of Call of Duty 4, one guy would be threatening the other guy of finding him in real life and kicking his ass.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the conversation would always be the same. He'd be like, oh, yeah, well, I know how. I'll find you. I can do it. You believe
That's
it.
That's the best
I'll
thing.
I'll see your IP address.
The coming. Very first Ralphie griefing video that I posted was as soon as I got some guy mad, like he threatened me with that. So then the response was like, well, I'll fuck you up in real life. And then if someone's going to respond seriously to that, like, no, dude, I'm going to get you in real life. Like,
yeah.
We should get Ziff to do a one-up video feature where we fly to people who have decided they hate each other and want to kill each other to San Francisco and have like talks and possibly a fight, but talks, like peace talks.
Yeah.
So do you think you could play Call of Duty 4 with Rick without getting angry, Matt? What makes you so angry? How's your situation at home?
That would be good.
That would be pretty cool.
Encounter session.
And then, just invite him to fight. Then we get
even better.
This guy said your mom's so fucking fat, man. You better fucking hit him.
Sponsored by GFW.
Days, where did they go? Without a few fossils, there's no way to know. Primal rage, dinosaurs, dead after asteroids. All the talk now is Turok and Blastoise. Beasts of burden, barely worth mentioning. Such and such was better before, no questioning. Those were the glory days, where did they go? Without a few fossils, there's no way to know. 7-Eleven, fistfighting elbow to elbow. Logging online to find friends, hell no. Never heard a hello. Coin on the cabinet. Let a loser know you're next up and that's it. No band-aids for boo-boos, no medikits. Winner stayed, loser paid, arcade, etiquette, mano a mano, and man to man. Lightning fingered fracas, I know, throw command. Spinning pile driver, got game girlfriend. Waiting next in line to 69 in the whirlwind. Practically porno, nice and perverted.
What's the spinning bird but paradise inverted? I heard sinning is sexually charged. Doll Sims Kebab exponentially enlarged. Those were the glory days, where did they go? Without a few fossils, there's no way to know. Primal Rage, dinosaurs, dead after asteroids. All the talk now is Turok and Blastoise. Beasts of burden, barely worth mentioning. Such and such was better before, no questioning. Back when we broke bones and bloody noses. Nowadays it's got guns, nobody notices. Bitches with bullets, assholes in armor. Put up your damn dukes, pukes and pussies. Let's do this, like 1991.
People don't do this with other, you know, people don't, no one ever asks, you know, does Mary Tyler Moore take a shit?
Right.
Mary Tyler Moore.
I'm sure if you looked hard enough.
Have you ever looked
at someone Mary Tyler Moore forum?
It's because the internet didn't exist back then.
Well, okay.
Or why Fred Flintstone has a separate bed.
Have you ever looked at the IM?
Hey, I saw an Urban Dictionary, I'm sorry, but he just reminded me about Flintstones. Urban Dictionary, Flintstoning is now a verb.
Uh-oh.
To Flintstone is move your desk. When you're sitting at a desk, like at school, a desk with a chair, when you move it without getting up, so like you just lift it up and walk with your feet.
Nice.
That guy just Flintstoned over to Joe to pick up my pencil. I'm sorry.
No, what I was saying is, as far as people being like this about movies, have you guys ever looked at the IMDb message boards?
Yeah,
and gone to specific actors' pages, because there are some fucking crazy people there. Like, yeah, it's just as insane.
So. The internet in general.
Yeah, I
send
think
me
so.
Links, man. We need to do them next
week. Yeah, Heroes of the Web.
I got one more Urban Dictionary thing that I just remembered from that same day, because it relates to this podcast. It's when a bunch of guys get together to hang out and talk, you can now call that a brodeo.
So this right here is a brodeo.
We're having a brodeo.
A brodeo.
So we could change our name actually to GFW Brodeo.
There's another one. Named,
that's a great
sure
idea.
Could. Or not.
That's actually
Brodeo. What do
it's
you think?
Catchy.
Brodeo. That'll work. Yeah. And we need some. We constantly talk about the possibility of renaming our podcast so that we can get people who don't just listen, who aren't just PC gamers.
Yeah, but GFW's still in there. If you got GFW Brodeo, you still got the GFW part.
How about just Brodeo?
Just Brodeo?
Yeah, that's it. It kind of has that ring of an FM radio rock station that has another name, you know, 97.5, the Brodeo.
And then it cuts in with like a sample from Metallica's Enter Sandman or something.
I think that's a good idea.
97.5, the Brodeo.
So Hero of the Web, if you're a new listener, is just basically something of vital importance we find on the internet, something that someone posted in a message board forum or something. So, Enchanted Toast says, a few days ago, I made a thread on the official Nintendo forums that I was in love with Marin from Link's Awakening. I said the reason I was in love with her was because of her personality, her appearance, her dreams, and everything else. I've been in love with her since childhood when I had my Game Boy. Marin was a girl on an island with no powers, just words of serene and wanting to fulfill her dream. The story and everything touched my heart. Now I did whoever told everyone that I understand that Marin was not real, but I actually found out that emotions telling me I was in love with the real Marin that was really out there. In other words, we feel that Miyamoto knew these Zelda characters when he drew them from certain people. A lot of people were touched by my message and said we should go on a search for Miyamoto to find the true answer to our romances.
Oh, God.
In other words, we want to ask Miyamoto Dono where the real Zelda people were that he got his ideas from. We feel Miyamoto Dono really knew people named Zelda, Marin, Malone, Link, etc. and our personalities and have put them into the game.
Oh, my God.
We're going to form a search party for Miyamoto. Because these questions we have been wanting to know them all of our lives. Sometimes we even sighted when we were in love with the characters in game and we knew we would never meet them. I cried. However, I feel that we can find them. I tried to get everyone to come with me on this search, but we were still discussing the situation when the topic reached 390 posts. NOA staff deleted it.
We don't know why, but it happened. So I found this site, and I'm...
Oh, shit. NOA is Nintendo of America. It took me a minute.
So I found this site, and I'm hoping that this site is the same site searching for the dreams and the answers to other Zelda characters with whom we are in love. I have loved so much for Marin that I sometimes shed tears over her. I know you guys think I might be weird or even crazy for loving a game character, but I am not. You see, it is our emotion that we are trying to reach out to a certain person we love. We can't help it if we are touched by the character's personality, looks, and so on, etc. So I'm just posting here if anyone has suggestions to our situation. I actually have a lot of people that want to come with me and find Miyamoto so he can answer these questions. Our love is really strong for this journey, so much that we don't want to put it aside. Finally, I am asking the Nintendo of America staff if they could please revive the thread and give me access to the thread so that I can document the pages as lots and lots of work was deleted.
Oh. Can you imagine being Miyamoto and like opening the door to that pilgrimage?
That would look good.
It's like a modern Canterbury Tales.
Trying to find... Isn't there something like that where someone's looking for the real such and such?
They're not even looking. They're looking for the guy who created them.
To tell them who the real one was.
I will tell you now, I am the real Tingle.
You want to be saying that? You want this parade knocking on your door?
How fucked up is that? That's like, I don't know, like knocking on J.J. Abrams' house and saying, you know, who's the real, you know...
But don't even...
Locke. Who's the real Locke? I know there's a real one.
But there's a character that played Locke that at least is a person, so there's a connection there. So,
yeah,
like, it would be more like...
This person was basing it on a Game Boy character.
Yeah, the Game Boy Link thing. So we got... There's
I like
be
that the whole
of,
thing is just like about how it's all based on, you know... That he's in love with, it's the personality that must have come from a real person, but then he slips in at the end there.
The looks.
The looks. Yeah. Uh-huh. Actually, she's kind of cute.
He's going to be so disappointed. What the hell?
What if the real Marin's like a 65-year-old guy? Then what's he going to do?
That would be the true test.
Then he would do it. This
you
is
see
all
how,
very.
How strong his love is.
No, isn't. What was this? Is this sort of shades of being John Malkovich? Maybe? Possibly?
You're
it's been
giving
a while.
Him a lot of credit
it's been a while.
Shades of insanity.
toy boat. You build the big plywood pagoda.
Ding.
I went to Warsaw, Poland to see the Witcher. I went to Kiev, Ukraine, and to Chernobyl for Stalker.
Oh fuck, that's right. You went to Chernobyl. What
yeah.
the hell are you doing here? We let him in here.
It's like a
radioactive
it's like
now.
A, it's like a Geiger counter.
That's the
door.
Sound in these headsets.
Yeah.
They make you pass through a radioactivity detector before you leave. So
do they really?
So awesome.
Yeah.
Is that wow. just for show? It's just part of your tourist
No,
package?
they will definitely stop you there. So
it'd be awesome if we're sitting down here now podcasting and like we could see Robert's like skeleton start to glow through his skin here.
That's what happens.
I did develop special powers from visiting Chernobyl. But I can't explain them to you. They're very personal. But yeah, I've been to Shanghai a couple of times. I've been to Helsinki. Yeah.
What's up in Helsinki?
That's enough. That's
Alan Wake. Yeah, that's plenty.
Alan Wake.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. What I want to hear about first, though, in all of your many tales is it doesn't involve – well, it comes back around to work some way, but you recently went to France and Italy.
Yeah, so I went.
Take me to that train, man. Put me on that train.
So we had summer vacation with my wife's family, the in-laws, the granny trip, as it's called, to France and Italy. And we ended up taking this night train from Paris to Venice. And all the rest of the family gets on a sleeper car to themselves, six beds. I end up in one with a stranger in first class, though, which is nice. But I end up hanging out in the family car until late at night, sort of sneaking into my bed with the stranger in the room late at night. Sounds terrible. But, you know, I sleep sort of until about 6 in the morning and start, you know, hearing this knocking at the door, really insistent knocking. And I figure it must be the train porter because I hadn't had my ticket checked or my passport or anything. And once I get the door open, I see him there, and his face just like freaks the fuck out. Like he's like, whoa, and grabs me by the shoulders, rips me out of the room, and I'm just totally
like
dazed.
Physically
rips me out of the room and starts jabbing on me like this, right? He's like, palm out, poking me in the chest and screaming at me in Italian. Every once in a while saying, get out. Wow. And I'm like, whoa, I have a ticket. I'm screaming, I have a ticket. I'm rummaging through my pockets, and I can't find my ticket. And he's just, you know, pushing me around, slapping me around. I'm looking for the ticket. He gets fed up, I guess, with what he was doing, and he runs back to his little office there. And do you guys know what an espresso machine's, like, portafilter looks like? It's the thing that you put the coffee in.
Yeah.
It's a big metal handle.
Right.
It's really hot. And he grabs...
Holy, he's running down the hall.
He comes at me with this thing and starts beating me in the arms with it, in the biceps, which I got burned because it was hot.
Oh,
I mean,
shit.
I was bruised.
We're checking it out.
Yeah, it's old now. This is like a month ago.
You got a fucking Texas country.
I was covered in bruises and everything. But, the whole time I'm just thinking, like, I can't do anything because I'm in the middle of nowhere in a foreign country, and this guy could just kick me off the train. So I'm trying to block him and everything. Finally, I run into my room and I find the ticket on the little end table in there, and I give it to him, and it doesn't even like settle him down. He just starts screaming like, "Yesterday, it must be yesterday," and like just having a fit. And I give him my passport, and after he, I guess, you know, is satisfied with his amount of screaming at me, he leaves, and I sit there on my bed, and of course my bunkmate is awake, and this is where the story gets weird. Because my bunkmate's awake, and I'm like, man, that was really fucking crazy. And he was like, yeah, and we start having this normal conversation. He's got a British accent. I ask him where he's from, and he says he's from L.A., or that's where he lives now. And I was like, oh, what do you do? He says, I make video games. I'm a game programmer. And I'm like, no shit. You know, I write about video games in San Francisco, mostly for the Ziff Davis people.
I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, and he goes, wait, what's your name? And I was like, Robert Ashley. And he's like, hey, yeah. And it turns out the guy is a programmer for Activision. Turns out he worked on the game True Crime New York, which was a really like steaming pile of crap game, and I panned it in a review, and actually it was worse than that, because while I was playing it, I got all these crash bugs, and so I had to be in contact with the PR people who were calling them and complaining about these crash bugs just to verify this stuff. And so he was getting like harassed by my stuff.
Holy shit!
But it was so like what Sean calls waja. So embarrassing. It's 6 a.m. I've been beaten by a train porter, and he starts telling me about how, because the game got such terrible Metacritic ratings, that they didn't get their bonus for the game and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh god,
this is like he grabs the copy handle.
The part of the story that I've read like 3 times now and I still don't understand is this. It says, it's describing the game, and it says, in Left Behind, set in perfectly apocalyptic New York City, the Antichrist is personified by fictional Romanian Nicolae Carpathia, Secretary General of the United Nations and a People magazine sexiest man alive. What the hell?
Well, now I gotta play this game.
How random is that? Players can choose to join the Antichrist team. Yes. Okay, I like that. But of course, they can never win on Carpathia's side. The enemy team includes fictional rock stars and folks with Muslim-sounding names, while the righteous includes gospel singers, missionaries, healers, and medics. Okay. So, Sean Elliott, you're studying the manual quite intently there.
I just think it's funny as heck. So you look at some of the breakdowns. In addition, it doesn't list the unit, the specific individual unit's name, so you can't see the Muslim-sounding stuff here. But I thought this was funny. The basically, on the Antichrist side, your units are basically trained at colleges. So, like, you know, when you're building...
Oh, so if you're an academic.
Right. When you're building your bases and your to deploy your units from, if you're on the Christian side...
you train them at churches and whatnot. But everything comes from all the special units and units for the Antichrist side are trained in colleges, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, you can't trust secular. Those colleges, those college-educated people.
Or supermarkets.
Supermarkets?
What? And mega markets.
Wait, supermarkets are forces for the Antichrist?
They are in this, right.
Christian shop?
And then just like what some of the abilities, like the standard ability for all the Antichrist is swear. Like, so instead of like, you know, MP5 and whatever, uh-huh. you know, it's like they swear. So, and everyone has got that ability. So it's like, and then that's opposed to the pray ability. So you just go, swear? I mean, you have a bunch of these guys like running around like, whatever, you know, and like,
take
yeah,
the
that's their
vein.
Yeah, right.
So what, that's how you fight them? Fuck you, Christian guy.
Yeah, that's how you
that's your attack.
That's how you fight them. And then so some of, let's look at some of the other, the specifics of these are funny.
Can like, you win if you're on
instead
the Antichrist
of like
side,
the healers,
or do you
just lose? The healers are like doctors that are trained at, you know, hospitals and clinics and stuff. As opposed okay. to, no, the dark heroes are, as opposed to no. faith-based centers or whatever.
Okay.
So again, I mean, it's like what? I mean, if you go to the hospital if you want Satan to cure you. You know, I mean, like, so, I mean, and then it gets even more ridiculous. I mean, you've got the equivalent of like, let's see, you know, let's just read some stuff here. Where was I? I'm trying to mark some pages. Okay, you got a level one pretender. He's a classic street performer with a little global community propaganda thrown in for effect. The pretender plays off his ability to entertain, but he's really more like a behavior monitor. He's there to remind everyone that the global community has eyes and ears absolutely everywhere. So keep this in mind. The next time you see the dude spray painted in silver paint and they got the little like whistle in his mouth doing a robot, he's really part of the Illuminati checking up on what you're doing down on the wharf.
Wow. Goddamn right.
Like, yeah, like the fire juggler. That's like the devil's own third eye checking you out. And, then you've got
actually makes sense.
And then this the activist, he's a level two.
The activist.
He's the proverbial wolf in sheep's clothing, and he's certainly not all that he seems.
Aren't there like Christian activists too?
His main role is definitely not peaceful. The activist is capable of actually sabotaging buildings that the global community designates as undesirable. So the activist is really what they're about. Is getting like whatever like buildings condemned that the global community or Illuminati or whatever doesn't like. I mean, I've at least heard the terms of like getting rid of the. I mean, you know, in like the Art Bell circles where the black helicopters and all that, they're basically trying to depopulate the country so that they can turn large areas of rural America into concentration camps. And at least they go somewhere with that. But here, they just wanted the buildings down.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I don't like that safe.
So is that, that's a unit, the activist?
That's a unit.
So
others
is that
are,
like my stealth? Is that like my saboteur?
Yeah, that is. Sabotage, okay. Yeah. And then you've awesome. Got musicians. So level one is
musician.
Just, is just like basically a roadie. And they can swear and sing. Then you get to smart. A band member and recording artist who can actually swear and play.
Oh, that's
and then, like, the guru, the level three musician of the devil is the rock star or pop star. Uh-huh. So the problem with these popular rock stars, according to the manual, is that they've found their 15 minutes of fame delivered courtesy of the Antichrist himself. Capable of connecting with and deceiving a huge audience, the rock star pop star is a force to be reckoned with, usually surrounded by band members. So it's like a mob. Like, this is a mob you run into.
Evil rock musicians.
All those nearby stop and listen to the deceitful lyrics. But this is kind of too much fun to me. I'm going to have to play this.
I know. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I don't think I've ever played anything like this.
Yeah. And then you got a cult leader. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's pretty
but anyway, though. Yeah, I just had to point out, it just seems funny that like we got a game that's telling us that college is where you raise the devils. And that's
so we've learned from this that education is bad.
Right.
Music is bad.
That scientific medical training possibly bad.
Is
I'm not
bad.
Sure if it's a...
But yeah. Video games are good.
Those are good lessons to teach Junior.
Right.
You're right, Mom. I'm not going to college.
You can't start off a story... So I was at WonderCon the other day and have it go anywhere but like incrimination.
Yep.
And Waja, exactly. Let me introduce this. I meant to introduce this term before. Waja, WAHJAH. And as far as I know, it was coined by Saint Genesius, who's a member on our forums. On the one forum.
I thought you were going to say the actual saint. And,
no. But anyway, it's just like it's embarrassment by proxy. But anytime you're sitting there and like – so, I mean, you could say everything's Waja. I mean, the most accessible example would be – anything Ollie G related where you're watching it and it's just like
embarrassing
like,
for the people.
Embarrassed. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to like Heroes of the Web is Waja, to, you know, some watching watching Grace Park do FMV for a video game, you know, can be Waja, or Mark Hamill, like, going from, you know, the lead in this blockbuster movie to, like, ha, 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 Batman, you'll never foil me! Or whatever.
Actually, seeing him be the weather wizard on the Flash TV series, that was the Waja moment.
Or the Guyver, like, they throw some, they, like, super glued some plastic to him. Turn him into some kind of real hero.
You're like, Ryan's like biting his tongue right now.
I love that stuff.
Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
He revels in it.
But that dude is down to earth.
He revels in it. He loves it.
Yeah,
he knows
like,
what's
you
going
can't,
on.
You can't
Wait, was it the Weather Wizard
that
the
guy.
Trickster or whatever the hell it was?
I was just going to say he wasn't the Weather Wizard.
Who was he?
He was the Trickster.
Okay.
Speaking of dicks.
You don't hear that transition on every podcast.
In Team Fortress 2, like the voice over IP has got this really like tinny quality to it. And then, you know, I was babbling, and then someone's like, my friend Rory was like, dude, you sound like you're in a tunnel full of dicks. And then it didn't even make any sense. But then, like, so then I was, like, trying to cultivate it and, like, singing, like, if you like tunnels and you dig dicks, then you will love the tunnel full of dicks. But, like, singing that all in the room.
Well, that's true. I mean.
Okay, if someone could come up with a nice tunnel full of dicks song for us.
Oh, no.
Wow. What?
That song was sent to us graciously by Michael Althaus.
Yep.
Althaus. Thank you, Michael. Because it's an issue we all face, isn't it? We're kind of all of us here in this room, and even Ryan, believe it or not, is in a relationship. And we have to – I shouldn't say
even
that.
Even Ryan. And he was talking about sex.
You know, if you're not here, if you can't make the podcast, that's what you get. You know, schedule your root canal for some other time.
Get your priorities straight, man.
Yeah.
Today's a lesson.
Yeah, no, we all to some degree have to deal with this. Like, you know, I mean, well, let me just ask Sean, Elliot.
This is a topic I like to talk about.
Does your partner play games?
And
tolerate you playing games?
She does. But yeah, so basically, I mean, along stereotypical lines almost where she's. Definitely, she plays Bejeweled like crazy, Bonnie's Bookstore.
Girls love that stuff.
Right. All the PopCap games, big fiend for him, and then, you know, Nintendo games with me, DS, WarioWare, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
definitely none of the shooters. And the problem then is that since I play all these damn shooters, is they all look like the same game to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be playing, you know, Red Orchestra 1 minute, Call of Duty the next, and in the course of an hour, literally go through it, Odd and Counter-Strike, Battlefield, and I'm always playing the same game.
To her.
And right. Mm-hmm. And when I come, you know, when I bring home a game and I'm like, hey, this is for review, I'm writing a story on this, I have to play it. And it's a Battlefield expansion. It's like, she's, you know, she's like, don't quit lying to me. I know what, I know what you're up to.
She's just goofing,
you know,
off with the same old game.
So, yeah. And it's tough because, yeah, I mean, you definitely, I mean, there's
kind of sad
times.
If she's sort of right.
Yeah.
So that's shooting there. Guys again.
But the other thing is too is it's I think that anyone that's in a relationship has got to deal with it, that there's going to be some kind of disparity between the commitment to the gaming, you know. And it's like there're definitely times when I want to come home and play and get in team speak and just yell and goof off and clown, and then she comes in from the other room and it's like, what the hell are you doing? You know, even the whole notion
are you embarrassed?
And now mom comes in the room.
Yeah, I don't know. You know me. I'm a pretty pretty immune to embarrassment, and I like to embarrass myself, so but I'll just, you know, I'll be on there talking in insane voices and stuff and harassing people.
You actually hit on the one big out though that we all have here, that that your average gamer doesn't, right?
Yeah,
which is
work. We're doing
I'm
work.
Doing this for review, yeah. For
but
work.
It's kind of, it's a double-edged sword though, because it's like when you definitely, there will be times when you really are working. And at least
she'll think you're playing.
My girlfriend Melissa just doesn't buy it. She's like,
yeah.
Or it's just because what we do is so divorced from so many people's notions of work. And because for one, a lot of people just assume all we do is sit around and play games, and we know that
we
definitely
do
don't do that.
Actually, we don't.
But in the cases when we the awesome part, you know, when we do get to play games, it doesn't seem like work to anyone. And it really isn't at the same time. But the bottom line is we have to do it.
We've well, that's got why I walked by OPM today, Official PlayStation Magazine. I walked by Joe Rubicki's office. He's
playing
the executive editor.
Too.
Yeah, he's sitting back in his chair with the guitar from Guitar Hero.
That's cool.
Playing it, I'm like, I can't believe this is some guy's job.
Yeah, that's amazing. Or just like, you know, when episode one came out, I just spent the day playing that. And
yeah, but that really was your job.
Yeah, and that's good.
But for me, it's kind of the I mean, there's a million things I could say, but one thing, just in you saying about your girlfriend not buying it, sometimes what happens with my wife is the opposite, which is that if I tell her it's work, she's actually angry because she thinks I just work too much.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. It's almost better if I say I'm just goofing off.
Yeah.
Because then she doesn't feel like, you know, Ziff the
but
man.
But then
has
there's
to
the other
again.
Thing, too.
There's no in between, because, like, our hobby is what we do. What we, you know, what we love doing is also our job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you go home and you're like, you know, I've been at work all day and I'm fiending to play some Battlefield 2. And she's like, what are you talking about? You just played games all day. And I was like, no, I didn't. I haven't played a game at work in like 2 weeks. You can hear the tone of voice I'm used to doing.
Actually, I think
I haven't played a damn game at work in 2 weeks.
The beleaguered gamer.
I think you actually have mic'd my apartment, because that's the same exact conversation I have half the time.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore because we've had too many arguments. I can't walk in the door and go to a game.
Play some games.
Oh, and by the way, this was...
Jeez, I have to pay attention to my wife and kid.
Yeah. Sheesh!
Jeez.
Yeah, this actually was going to be my column this month, but now I'm not going to do it. Thanks, guys.
No, you can still do it.
I think this topic's pretty endless.
There's so much good stuff. I mean, just thinking of it, I'm like...
Although, the one thing I got to say, though, is like, Amy, like, when we first started dating, she was in denial. She basically said that she's not a gamer at all. She hated stuff. She played Myst when she was younger, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I introduced her to Grim Fandango, and, you know, every once in a while, like, I get my hands on a cool-looking adventure game that she might like, and she starts playing it. And I introduced her to Guitar Hero, and she's hooked on that, so...
There is nothing I can do to get my wife into gaming.
That's
too bad.
The thing that I learned, at least with
nothing at all.
I've tried
all the Goochers.
Everything you could think of
really?
To throw at me.
Wow. Like, even she's immune to Bejeweled.
Immune to Bejeweled.
Wow.
Immune to Bookworm. Immune to
Bejeweled.
Brain Age.
The only thing I found that worked for me was just like, basically, I would have the controller in my hand and we'd do a puzzle game or an adventure game. And I'm like, Amy, boss me around. She knows how to do that, so...
My daughter totally gets it. She's
no, she's actually really cool.
My wife walks in.
I'm thinking of you guys doing role playing and her boss and being the boss, dude. That's when I got scared about it.
Ew.
Well, shit.
The podcast takes a nasty turn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, back on track.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky because my boyfriend is as into it as I am, if not more in a lot
that
of cases.
That is very cool.
So... I got
Soul Calibur.
But do you have to like?
Yeah, pretty much. It's also dangerous.
Do you have to argue though over like the controller or the game or?
Sometimes, but I mean,
WoW is kind of what we settled on as the default thing when we can't agree on, like, well, do you want to play DOA? And, like, eh,
do you
well,
have two PCs
WoW.
Set up?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so you guys play together?
He's at his desktop, and I'm usually at the laptop on the couch.
And do you play together?
Oh, yeah.
Will you play WoW together?
Yeah, this kind of thing.
Good. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That, in fact, that's awesome.
You know, I haven't tried that yet. I haven't tried to get her on MMOs yet. I'm afraid I might create a monster.
Yeah, I've done that now with my daughter. In fact, just today I got Egbert, my character, moved over to her server. So now we're going to play
heard,
on the same
I've
server.
I've heard horror stories from friends who, you know, were MMOing together. And then, like, they had different they got in different guilds or something. And then they, like, it ended in divorce.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that was the conclusion.
That is unreal.
I'm just like, I traced it backwards. I'm just like, they got divorced over that game.
Look at the wow. story on Love Bites in our current
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like you get to the point where you're looking over each other's shoulder, at least some of the people in there, you know, they're looking over each other's shoulder and seeing, like, well, who are you talking to in game? Are they PMing you?
Who are you
slash-telling? Why don't they say all?
Right.
Why don't they say all? You know,
I wonder if there's a danger, too, of, do you guys, like, what I would wonder about, because in a way, you know, my wife, and this is what she says, is like, well, somebody's got to run the household. You know, and there's a little bit of truth to that if I'm just sitting on my ass all weekend in front of the PC. Working, I should say.
Yes.
Working to earn her money. That if two people are like, do you ever think, like, man, we should get up and stop doing this all day?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
We actually did, you know, we do that, though. We make a point to, like, this weekend was just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe played an hour of games.
I think the fundamental difference between your situation and ours is that, like, all of us in the room are aware of just, like, how completely geeked out this stuff gets. And, like, just, I mean, and it's like, for us, I'm assuming there's places you don't go, you don't even start to try to explain a joke because you realize how much context. It's like, it's going to take me all day to set this up. By the time I get to the punchline, she'll be like, why is that funny?
Yeah.
But you, like, both of you are like, why, we're laughing at this and we know why it's funny. Like, but is it really funny? I don't know. I'm just imagining, like, it would be weird.
You guys
are both intimately aware of, like, how far you're going down the rabbit hole when you guys are
really, oh, yeah.
You know, I'm jealous. Yeah,
so
I would
playing it off.
I am jealous. So I would like once in a while to be able to have, I mean, I do have that experience with my kid, but it's rough when you got someone in the house who's just like, what you're doing is a waste of time. You know, 24/7.
Like, that's how you make your money.
Right. Yeah. I'm not trying. I'm dissing my wife in public. This is bad for me. I love you, honey.
That's going to be rough, though, no matter what. I mean, because I've had that, too, and it's like, it's similar to the, like, what you do is not work. And I'm thinking not so much of when we're playing games, but say when we're, you know, we have a rough week, a deadline, and we're basically, you know, writing at home, writing over the weekend, editing, preparing stuff for the next issue at the same time. In those days, you at least, it's still very nice. Love it. I'd rather be doing it than, you know, so many other things. But at the same time, it's kind of in line, too. It's just anytime someone you love just summarily dismisses a big chunk of what you're investing
yourself
in. Yeah,
it's like, you know, this is my career here, you know. And, you know, to put it into some context, I mean, first of all, she's European.
Which, so she wants you to play Rayman.
right. No, but also nothing. She's
either that or a soccer simulator.
What I was really going to say was she's a teacher, okay? She's a high school teacher. So she's got to deal with.
She's not using DDR to teach the kids to lose weight.
Yeah, what I'm doing, what I do is like the enemy of what she does.
Right.
You know, this is like why they don't,
fighting
why kids
this.
Don't do their homework.
That's quite a dynamic relationship you've got there.
Yeah. we always say that, you know, she smartens them up and I dumb them down.
Yeah. It would be Judy Bloom or something else if it wasn't the games, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be Bratz.
What bugs me, too, is like, you know, every once in a while there is a game that I really think, I'm like, this is the one. Like Katamari, I think, was one where I was like, this is so innovative and it's so cute and it's so friendly.
I knew better on that. The controls.
Her eyes just glaze. Well, not even to play it, but just to watch me play it. Just to acknowledge that there's something interesting happening here. I mean, the last thing she saw me play was Half-Life Episode 2 or Episode 1, and I was playing it and I was really into it. And it was like a good part of the story. And she walked by and, like, right then on the screen, there was, of course, you know, something, like, horrible happening. Like, I was using the gravity gun to, like, throw bricks at zombie heads.
Right.
Well, at least it wasn't a sin.
So she walked by that, and she's like, what is that? Like, in the most dismissive tone possible.
When you're not playing it, all you see is nothing but violence upon violence upon violence, and you don't see... I mean, now I got to go and defend what... Well, it's not just violence. But in the way that you're responding, you're like, whoa, did you see how that happened? Or like, I got to figure out, using the tools available to me, how to get out of the situation. All they see is if you're like watching a movie and it was like an endless clip of like highlights from like crusty old, you know, like Puppet Master Films and whatever, you know, Troma Studios.
Well, what this actually the scene was, it was the part of the game where the ant lions are spawning endlessly, so you have to use the gravity car to move the cars over to oops, the gravity gun, move the cars over there. I just spoiled one of the puzzles. Sorry. But anyway.
Alex is the one that says it like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, she does? I missed that.
She much clubs you over the head with it.
Like, shit. She says that?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear it. I missed it. I thought I had to figure it out. But, you know, so my wife was like dissing the game because the zombies are attacking you. And I was actually trying to mount this defense. Like, actually, it's kind of a logic puzzle.
I was like, exploding zombie heads.
Yeah, all the time I try to sit there and defend how, like, you know, gaming is evolving as an art form, and I'm sitting there playing Sin episodes for the review, and for opening scene, I'm staring at some digital boobs.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that is
there you go.
That would have been harsh. And then right after that,
she's in a bikini.
We can't drop the F-bomb on here, but anyway, as soon as that part, you get in the car.
The corner of FNU.
The corner of FNU, yeah.
I actually think
that and the TNA together would just be,
yeah.
Yeah.
James said, like,
sometimes have a nasty habit of, like, shooting themselves in the foot, where you're just like, see, this is really cool.
I do feel this way, that, like, if the game you're playing is stupid or whatever, like, that's actually okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just say
it's the way we watch stupid TV.
Exactly.
Or go to stupid movies or read stupid books. Like, if this is just how you want to spend your time, I think that's okay.
See, well, think of, like, if you had someone come up to you, if your wife came up to you and was trying to tell you that, like, I don't know, Miss Congeniality is just amazing. I mean, it's just completely high art, you know? And she was absolutely sincere, and you had to listen to that. And she rented movies like it and its sequels, like, every week in and week out. And then that's kind of probably her perspective on what we do, you know? It's like... that is if you're not telling her, hey, this is a dumb, like, this is a guilty pleasure. I'm sorry, but, like,
well,
in terms of the perception, not the reality.
I'll do both. Sometimes I really do try to defend it because there are games you can defend as, you know, strategy games or things like that. You can say, this is actually using a significant part of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other times where clearly you're just goofing off and wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to start simple with her. Start her on some flash games like Torture Osama or something.
Always a good
seriously,
point.
Like elf bowling or something. I don't know.
Maybe something from a French perspective, since she's French. Yeah.
Get her into, I don't know. I give up.
Yeah,
but all it takes is one. Like, the fact that, like, if they play just one game, then even if the game content itself is completely different than what you're doing, the concept of, like, wanting to keep playing something, you know, in the same medium, like saying, hey, you know, I know that feeling where I want to go back and keep playing this and just do it again, even though I've done it the day before and the day before that, you know.
Bookworm in Bonnie's Bookstore might be good.
Maybe it just doesn't matter. Maybe it's okay, you know.
Yeah, they're sweating it for nothing. Does she watch Oprah or anything like that you can shoot back
She
at
definitely
her?
Watches some dumb TV.
There you go. That's it.
And her, you know, the way she'll say it is, well, you know, I've been teaching all day. I've been working hard all day, and now I just want to turn my brain off and chill out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And there you go. There's the argument.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the end of it then.
Amen.
Well, why
Amen.
Did how did this turn into a therapy session for me?
Okay, who needs a hug?
I was asking you guys a question.
Well, you're part of it. We want to know.
Yeah, but now I feel bad.
We're worried for you. Jeff, we think what you're doing is worthwhile. We're behind it.
I'm good enough.
You. We understand.
We're here to validate you.
I have a good job because of it.
What would she say if she heard this podcast?
It wouldn't be good.
Matter of
say
fact,
something
I'm
that makes
this.
It good right now. You have about 5 seconds.
I love you.
Love you, honey.
Copycat, just like the last one. Must be where the money's at, but that's not fun. No fakes. Fingerprints and snowflakes used to be variety. Violently inspiring. Ever since you've ducked events, it's fucking tiring. Marching to an 8-bit beat, not what the choir sings. Action scrolled left, right, top to bottom. And every other goon dropped goodies when I shot him. Missions with meaning. Rescuing girlfriends, presidents, daughters. From biker gangs and metalheads, bunny rabbits, kangaroos, raccoons with attitude, whatever your habits.
An animal to suit the mood. What about a Bobo? Green skin, mean as sin. I heard he fought dirty. Never got a clean win. Halloween grin. Face like an asshole. Today's boss battles raw, tasteless hassle. Weak spot. Another word for coin slot. That sounds silly. Thing is, the point's not how hard they had to go and push the Halo pre-orders. Put Heroic on live, but charge continues by the quarter. Who knows? That's how the beard grows. Masochists, fetishes, fuck-ups, weirdos. Fact, I'm sure I've said it before. I've always feared those. And God, I weren't good. It's got nothing to last in. Just a flash your form and fashion a button mashing. Stars in the sky. Heaven sent inventions. Good old games never went without my attention. Maybe one might have been a little bit hit or miss. Clever original. Not once ridiculous. Stars in the sky. Heaven sent inventions. Good old games never went without my attention. Maybe one might have been a little bit hit or miss. Clever original. Not once ridiculous.
Doofer says, I had a rough weekend, went out and got ruined in contemplation. I discovered computer games are not cool. It was cool to play them when they had arcades, but since PlayStation, N64, Dreamcast crucified arcades, computer games have slowly become uncool. My point is this. Music is cool. You can go out and listen to music, and there's an element of danger and uncertainty. You can meet the opposite sex. You can get laid. You can discuss the event as it's happening with other people, and you could get into a fight or get really drunk and spew. Arcades had all of this, that's and cool. Now it's gone. Now we play online. Online play is not cool. Computer games are becoming uncool. You know when it's getting bad when Microsoft gets involved. I love 360, but sorry, Microsoft are not cool. I guess my point is that with cool comes mischief. You have to be a rebel to be cool. There's nothing rebellious about playing computer games with your friends online and with your mom and with your dad sitting downstairs watching the TV. That ain't cool. Computer gaming will never become mainstream unless it is perceived to be cool. To which Xavier responds,
So you go places to get drunk, laid, and start fights? Gee, maybe arcades aren't cool because you got kicked out of them all, you think? You know it's bad when Microsoft gets involved. What the hell do you think all the greatest computer games of all time were based on, you jackass? Microsoft Windows or DOS. That box you type this on, if not a PS3 or Wii, is called a computer. And it either runs one of two systems, Linux or Windows. And if you don't think gaming on Windows is cool, try cross-compiling code modules, one on top of the other, and dealing with driver issues just to play one game on Linux. So it is getting a lot better.
Wow.
Oh,
so
he told him, huh?
Wow. That's another reason why the internet and forum message boards are kick ass.
Sean is back from Japan. Sean Elliott, mm-hmm. That is. I have to say, I have to use last names.
Jet lagged and sick, but ready to talk about some Half-Life 2 Survivor arcade.
Excellent. Ooh. Woot. Yeah, and you
got a teaser.
We can't show that card you got on the air, but we need to talk about it
because
it's really odd what you got here.
You guys can pass this around. Yeah, well, basically, what's going around now is a memory card for the game, for the arcade game. So when you go in and play it, like if you want to do a single-player game, which is basically Half-Life 2 as we know it, but not as we know it, and you get the card for like 200 yen, and then that will allow you to come back and you know, resume play just as if you had been doing it from a home PC.
And wait, you can resume play from where you were?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, So say if you get halfway through, you know, whatever, Nova Prospect and a couple games, and you come back, then you come back the next day with some more money and finish it, you know.
I think I remember, like, didn't Sega use one of these cards in their arcade games for, was it F-Zero or something?
Yeah, tons of arcade games there, including, I think, like, the Mario Kart Racing and whatnot have these memory cards for them. I was buying a card to just give me credits to play it, and then it was only after it started asking me for more money that I realized that I kind of screwed up and got myself a souvenir. But so the skinny on this game is it's basically Half-Life 2, but instead of a mouse and keyboard, and, you know, Japanese are traditionally, you know, FPS phobic. You've got 2 foot pedals, one for crouch, one for jump. Your left hand control stick is the left, right, up, down, you know, back, forward, left and right movement, or, you know, WASD. And then your right stick is like a hand controller that then becomes your mouse. And it's got a scroll wheel on it and a trigger. Like it was a flight thing, and then you use the two together. So, you know, move your left hand forward to move forward, and then look around with this stick as if it were a mouse pad. And it's not very, it's pretty intuitive. I mean, you can figure it out as soon as you sit down and start playing and you're just sitting there like jumping with one thing and, you know, looking around. But it's definitely not as accurate or as precise. Another thing about this game is hilarious is that, of course, they're abbreviating it by taking out, you know, they're taking out, you're not going to be in the arcade and wandering through the very first section of the game and getting off the trains and meeting Barney in the room and finding out that he's, you know, this guy's as a combine guy. So it just immediately cuts to right after that and gives you a crowbar and a gun. But then it's the same game. But then what they do is because they have no faith in their audience's ability to negotiate these environments or figure out, okay, that's a dead end. I shouldn't sit here for another hour and beat this wall with the crowbar. I should probably go down that hall. And if that door's open, I probably should go in there. So every step of the way, there's a giant illuminated arrow telling you where to go, or if there's a crate telling you to beat on this crate, or if there's an enemy shooting at you in the face, a big highlight and an arrow pointing at him, saying, like, this dude right here, you do not want to be this guy's friend. Shoot him. So, I mean, it's so ridiculous that, it's like Time Crisis, and then a helicopter comes down, and, you know, this is all familiar experience to us. We know where the helicopters come in Half-Life, and you definitely know it's like a crap-your-pants moment, and you get some cover, but here, it's reminding you yet again that that big thing flying and shooting however many rounds a second at you is to be shot at.
So the game, I mean, the game's already a Disneyland ride to start with. It's basically like pointing you what to do.
Yeah, so if you take out all of the stuff that Valve is known for is in terms of like creating the Disneyland ride and then masking it, you know, like going in and trying to make it so it seems that your eye movement's directed by very organic things, by composition and things like that, rather than, and so taking all that work away and just putting in the arrows and showing here is the Disneyland ride that's always been there. The game is loses a whole lot because of it.
But is it? But I mean, people are sitting there. I mean, you're in public playing at an arcade, and are you paying by the minute or no?
No, you pay by I think what happens is you get a certain amount, you know, because obviously you can get health in the game and stuff the same way you're used to. And I never died. It was just so easy for me. But, I mean, I know the game, you know, the back of my hand. But after I played a certain number of levels, then it was like time for more money, you know.
Okay.
So after like I got through the canals, it wanted me to put more money in to keep playing. Which was interesting. And then it's got a big multiplayer component to it. And this is interesting because all the they've created new character models. So there's like a Gordon, and then there's like a female Gordon too, and she's in her armor. And so it's not Alex or anything. It's like a big with big, you know, big breasts, but the half suit
but
armor
with Gordon's face.
It's like
big anime eyes.
Yeah, it's like if he had a sister. Then so all the characters get female versions too.
She has a beard too.
Combine assassins, the guys with the one eye, the white outfits. There's female versions of them. There's female versions of the police. There's all these other random ones that they made, guys with these big backpacks, and they all have like a female version too. And then you run around and play deathmatch in these linked units through that. And the surprising thing was a lot of people were actually playing this game. I thought there you'd go and it's going to just because like they're 360. You go in all the game stores I went to there, they had these big kiosks out front and people gather around in public to play them. But there's always the 360 one. It had some brand new game I'd never even heard of. It's not out here. And no one would touch it. It was always, every single store was vacant. Whereas all the PlayStation 2 games, for some, the cheesiest looking tennis game or something came out, and there'd be like 20 people playing that thing.
That's brutal.
So it surprised me that they were willing to play Half-Life 2 Survivor in the arcade when there are all these other sort of Japan native games around that, that probably made more sense to a lot of people there. And they really, I mean,
is it general just an Xbox phobia kind of thing or?
I don't know. But think of it, too. I mean, the first-person shooter is not – I mean, the closest analog there is the Kingsfield games, which are like dungeon crawl. It's like imagine if you took Oblivion and you made it 1,000 times slower.
Right.
And I remember playing Kingsfield.
Is that possible?
It is. Yeah. Go write yourself a Kingsfield game. Yeah, you can do one. It's real time, but you do one sword slash every 2 minutes or something, wind up for it, and you better hope it hits. Yeah, the PS1 stuff. So,
do we know if Valve made – any part of this, or is they like just kind of hand it over to a third party to add all this stuff?
I don't know. I think they, I mean, Taito publishes it, and I'm guessing it was them, unless because I can't imagine Valve being of all the places that they're making money and they can and do make money. That just doesn't seem like a big place where they're like, you know, this is going to be a really wise investment on our part. And I can't imagine them wanting to do that kind of violence to their own game just so someone else will get it,
right?
You know, and I mean, I can imagine them wanting to test it themselves and everything. So I'm just guessing they gave it, made some agreement and said, hey, go ahead. At the worst, this is just, you know, introduce some characters and stuff to this new market.
Right.
I'll be in this weird context. But it is funny because the other games there in the same arcade, they had this a dog walking simulator. And dogs are all the rage there. Real small. Like, you know, Nintendog stuff?
Yep.
It's like when you go there, it makes sense because everyone has those kind of dogs that are from the game. Mm-hmm. And you can actually rent dogs. Like, you go out and there's this dog store and it's like, we rent dog, you know, and it's like dog rental. Rent and fun. And so you get in the line and there's all these people and they show you, you know, here's a bag, here are the bags to pick up its poo. And this is what you do. And I was watching through the window, and all the families are getting them. And then you get the dog, and you rent it for a couple hours and just walk them around.
Wow.
Yeah. But so anyway, and so in keeping with that theme, they got the dog. I mean, a dog is just huge there. So they get this game, and it's basically a treadmill for you to walk on, and you hold a leash. And what's happening is that you pick a various, you know, you pick all the different dog breeds that you want to walk, you know, whatever. So we pick this poodle. And we're going to go walk it. And you're on this treadmill. Basically, you're trying to steer it because it wants to go pee places where it shouldn't. It wants to chase cats. Uh-huh. It wants to, you know, chase mailmen and whatever. But so you're trying to struggle to keep this thing going in a
certain
path.
So you're holding on to like a...
Onto a leash.
A controller sort of?
A leash that's attached to a controller, yeah, okay. That can exert some kind of resistance. And then the treadmill, which applies increasing resistance. You have to make, instead of running on its own and having you run to keep up with it,
yeah.
You have to move it. And it becomes, okay. And it becomes even... more and more difficult to move. So it's the equivalent of like, you know, like pushing a car up a hill or something.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, that sounds fun.
Right. Wow. So I'm walking this freaking poodle.
Gym.
No
so
kidding.
Check this out. So this poodle, I'm walking it. And all of a sudden, and the thing can't weigh more than like 10 cents, right? And all of a sudden, it's like you've got a horse. It's like you got a Clydesdale on the end of this thing. And I mean, no, you're seriously like pulling this all. I'm like, I've done tug of war and used less energy than to keep this 10-cent poodle from like taking a piss on the truck. But anyway, that was pretty funny.
You have to pick up virtual poo as well or something?
You don't have to do that, but I mean, I don't know why not.
Yeah, that'd be an excellent gameplay feature.
Another, let me think what else.
The little pooper scooper thing?
I didn't see a single in their game stores. They don't have PC games with them that I've been able to find, except I did find a big banner for Rise of Legends at one store.
Interesting.
It was like the main thing, and it was like a multi-platform store, but I never found where the games are at. And then I did see a PC store, and all the PCs are very, very small boxes, mm-hmm. in part because of the living conditions there.
Right,
you know,
right.
You just don't have much real estate, and you don't want to have these mega mm-hmm. water-cooled towers that we've got. So, I don't know. I wonder, I mean, everyone always asks, what's the deal? Why, you know, why is PC gaming just so non-existent, so to speak, over there? And you can even tell from the people that work. You know, I was talking to a guy from Konami, and he's actually does PR for him, so he's not making them. And he was convinced. He's like, yeah, well, you know, we don't make PC games because, you know, if you sell 100,000 copies of it, that's considered a massive blockbuster. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? I was like, well, you know, I don't even need to talk about Warcraft with you. Let's just talk about like Battlefield, 2 weeks and a million, mm-hmm. which are numbers which are more or less the same. I mean, that's the measure of success on console and likewise on PC. But it's just, I don't know if it's perception or what. They just think that, you know.
I think they're just focused on the Japanese market. I mean,
also,
like,
it'd just be interesting to see, I mean, to do it like some kind of research on, because in the East in general, PC gaming is pretty big, but for whatever reason, it hasn't penetrated Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just did stories ourselves on China.
Right. It's huge in China.
Obviously,
Korea.
It's huge in Korea.
I think it's huge. It's probably huge because of the gaming centers in some of those countries. I mean, you know, like mm-hmm. go to like a game cafe or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meanwhile, Sean, are you dying?
I warned you. I got the flu.
Yeah.
In Japan, and I shouldn't be contagious now, but I'm getting over.
Shouldn't
that,
be. So. That's
just,
great.
Just in case, can you lick the mic?
Yeah.
Could you just lick the mic anyway?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much of it has to do with maybe some of our listeners that know more. Until we research it, can write in and explain to us. But I mean. Obviously, the conditions in which gaming arose differ vastly between, mm-hmm. say, South Korea and Japan, where in Japan it was basically through, you know, arcade. It was introduced through the arcade games, and the big companies are still around, Namco and Taito and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it actually came into being in the PC format in Korea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, there are certain dating simulators and stuff are really popular on PC in Japan, but really that's it. It's just not, you know, it's not looked upon as being the new... Hmm.
Are those in the arcades too?
Dating simulators?
Yeah.
They might as well be. There's such random stuff in the arcade. I mean, it's all the stereotypes, you know, where you go and you just make a game out of anything.
Yeah. Train simulations.
There's a game
favorites.
The train simulation. It has all the dials of like the JRs or the Japan Rail Train,
mm-hmm.
that you ride around every day there and you basically just look, and of course it's on a track, you know, it's not, you know,
it's a rail
train.
Shooter.
It's out of, it's up, you don't shoot. It's like a rail game with rails, but nothing else to do.
You know,
it's
there's guys who would play that over here. That's their hardcore train dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only they had like the engineering hat peripheral.
Yeah, so there's pretty much anything.
I can't get past this whole renting dogs thing.
That part is rad. Yeah. Renting dogs.
The poor dogs. They need like a home. Yeah. They're like, is this my money now?
I know. It's just the point when instead of just sitting in the little cage though in the pet store waiting for someone to come and adopt them, they spend that time of their life getting acclimated to walks and different people, I guess.
Other dogs. Yeah.
Let's have a quick mech argument. Okay. I have to interject and say, especially after playing a recent build of Battlefield 2042, that mechs are retarded. They don't exist. It's not Japan's dirty secret. They don't exist because something far superior exists. It's called a tank. It handles terrain better. It's faster. It's more mobile.
How could it handle terrain better when you've got like walking legs?
You know, they get stuck on trees and that are slow to turn and that throw off your aim as you're moving.
Maybe you've got stabilizers and chrome hounds also have treads.
But it's so slow and dumb. It's like, and I got to get it out there. My usual complaint about Metal Gear is another game with mechs in it.
Right, right.
The whole thing is we're building a mobile nuclear platform. And
that
it's like, it's a mech thing. But it's like, hello, dude. Have you heard of a submarine? You could go anywhere you want, as fast as you want, as stealthily as you want, and deliver it where you want.
Or a jet, God forbid.
Yeah. Well, that takes care of water and air. Your mech is...
Yeah, because you can't, because it's impossible to get a missile launch from the water to hit land. I've been playing The Ship, and I'm trying to get everyone in here to play, because it would be the perfect game for us to play on lunch breaks. Mm-hmm. You know, jump in, all of us can do it. It doesn't sort of rule out people that aren't, you know, they don't have the quickest reaction times and the best Twitch play.
So I didn't really know what it was until I read about it this morning, and it's like, this is using the Half-Life 2 engine?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a mod for Half-Life 2, but it's...
No, it started as a mod for Half-Life 1, so okay. it existed in that context. There's an interesting thing about that I'll say in a minute, but and now it's a full, you know, it's a full-blown game. It's, you know, on Steam, e-tail for $19.99. Mm-hmm. And
it's like Clue,
because it was a mod at first, it's getting some negative response where people that were used to playing it in that free context are still seeing it as a mod and they're expecting more because it isn't necessarily the most polished game. And the charm for me is not in how well it's put together, but how cool the ideas are behind it and how, I mean, and they do come, it is executed, you know, well. I mean, it's definitely fun to play. I'm not going to play it in, you know, 4-hour marathon sessions like I do with Battlefield or something like that. But, you know, when I hop in for an hour or something, it's good times. Mm-hmm. So a quick rundown on it, since some people listening won't even know what we're talking about, is it's an entirely multiplayer game. And you've got each level is a different cruise ship. And it's, when's it set? Somewhere in the 40s, I'm thinking.
Yeah, 40s-ish.
And it takes place entirely on a ship.
On a cruise ship. And every player is basically a person on the ship. There are NPCs, but they're like, you know, bartenders, people that run the brig, that run the infirmary and whatnot. And each person is also assigned to kill another passenger. And only they know who that is. And it's never like a tit-for-tat where the person you're hunting is also hunting you. They're hunting someone else and someone else is hunting you. So you're trying to identify who your target is by walking around and inspecting them, looking at them. You know, they can change clothes and things like that. And at the same time, watching your own back. So it gets really, because everyone's suspicious of one another. Uh-huh. You see people, you walk into a room and immediately everyone kind of wants to spread out or whatnot.
Sounds fun.
Unless there's, you know, like a guard person there or something and you can pay them, bribe them for a moment. So someone, say if you're hunting someone and they're just going to go be chicken shit and go sit by the guard for the whole game, you can go up and bribe him and then off them. Then to add to the complexity and sort of to balance things out, you have these Sims-like needs where you've got to, you know, relieve yourself, got to go to the bathroom, got to sleep, you've got to read, you've got to talk with people a certain amount. Yeah, and if you don't do these things, you get tired and then you slow down, you have to stop for a minute, people can catch you. But the fun part is that you start to balance it out. You're like, I have to take a leak, but I think someone's chasing me right now. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait. And then it turns out you were just being, you know, paranoid, and they weren't. And then you go to take a leak, and then immediately the door opens, and there's an axe murderer in front of you and offs you when you're, you know, whatever on
that
the
can. That is just not a good way to go out.
It's not. I've seen the best thing is someone was taking a dump, and I poisoned them, and so they start puking because that's one of the slower. You get more. It's based
on this. That's gaming.
It's based on this economy. You get more money depending on the complexity of your kill. So an axe kill nets you almost nothing. It's an easy, you know, there are fire axes all over the ship and for, you know, with emergency equipment stuff. But when you get the more obscure stuff, you get someone with like knitting needles or something, and it takes a lot longer because they don't do as much damage. And they can fight back too. They can safely fight back and kill you. And then, you know, and that works in their advantage. But the thing that keeps people from all just going homicidal and murdering everyone is that if it's not your target and it's not your hunter, you're fined and you're sent to the brig. And after a certain number of just like bloodlust kills, you're just evicted from the server.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you have to focus on your target.
Right. But you can trick people and it's fun. Then you go into a room, close the door behind you and push someone, which you can do, and they start freaking out, and then they pull out their weapon and then they kill you, and you just respawn then in that circumstance, and then they get the loss, and you basically just trick them into almost getting kicked from the game by being so afraid of what you were doing. So a lot of the fun comes in that kind of scenario, and that's why I want us all to play.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So the next time like your wife or spouse or mom or whatever complains that these games are rotting your mind, you can point them to this game where you can stab somebody while they're taking a dump.
Yeah.
Or you can make a puke. That's out.
See?
Perfect.
Some games are sophisticated.
Hey, it's like Clue. It is like Darren was saying, a mix of Clue, The Sims, and a first-person game. But
yeah, it sounds really unique.
Yeah. It is.
The PC's not dead. The PC rules.
When I worked at Safeway, it was the same principle where the rule at the time was every time you make eye contact with someone, you need to greet them, ask them if they're finding everything okay. And then if they say that they're, oh, I'm looking for this, and which the problem is that when you stop, most people like us, they don't want to talk to you. But the other's like, oh, someone's talking to me. I better think of some good answer. What am I looking for? And then they make something up. And then the next rule is that you have to go and take them to it, physically touch the item, and then recommend a complimentary purchase. So the example in the training video was that someone was asking for hot
training
dog buns.
Video.
And the guy's like, you know, like, oh, ma'am, did you have pickles with that? And then it was known in the store as giving the customer the pickle. Now, this is, okay, so this was, like, intensely infuriating when you're stocking the shelves. You know, this was, like, a long time ago when I first started working in grocery stores. And you're trying to get to the other end of the store, right? And then you stop someone because every time you pass someone, you're supposed to make eye contact and say hi. And it's this infinite regress. Like, my end goal is to go put this case of beer over in the beer aisle, right? But someone asked me something about the produce, and then you go back over to the other end of the store, touch it and do it. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to go back to my cart and do it. But nope, there's someone else, and I smiled. I got to do it again. So
wait, when you touch their produce?
You just touch something, touch it. And then, so meanwhile, there's the mirrors up in the top, and I know where the management booth is. And you're always looking up there like, is that guy, Billy Compton was the manager. And this is why I want to tell a story ultimately about Billy Compton. And that old Billy Compton would look down through there, and you'd see him looking at you, and you'd be like, dude. It's
wait,
like totally Orwellian. It was like the Panopticon.
He would be sitting there watching you guys.
Watching us to
make
sure.
He's like sitting
in
the back room of the market.
Yeah,
watching
the upstairs, looking down across the store. Yes. Yeah, through the two-way mirrors to make sure everyone is doing
this.
That's
some satisfying work.
And we had secret shoppers come in at least once a week, you know, and that they would evaluate this. But then we had these things called huddles. And I don't want this to seem racist. This is the best that I can impersonate this guy. And he did speak this way. But so he would have these huddles. It was his idea. So all of a sudden, we're working on the intercom. We hear, attention Safeway employees, huddle up. Time to huddle up. Let's huddle up. So we'd have to run to the back room. We'd run to the back room, and he'd like, you know, closer, closer. And we'd all get in this, like, you know, circle, like it's a huddle, a football game. And then he would start saying, like, okay, it's summertime. What's going to sell? What's going to sell? Coke. Peppy, Frito-Lay, they'll pay us money. And then, like, we're sitting there, you know, we're just trying to get this shit stocked on the shelves, and this guy's telling you this, God. And you're like, this is fucked up, right? And then he was so condescending that there's this kid, Eli, who's this bagger. He's a total shit for brains. And he looks, and he's telling him, he's like, who here want to tell me about gain sharing? Gain sharing. And gain sharing was that if we got enough secret shopper reports that were just, like, glowing in their report, at the end of the year, we'd get like an extra 5 cents tacked on to every $200 we earned.
Ooh.
Or something like this. And then so he would break it down and remind us that we stood to gain another, what, $3 at the end of the year. And then he looks around and he's like, tell me what it means. And then he goes,
He goes, even Eli knows what that means. Mo' money, mo' money, mo' money, mo' money. And did Eli's all looking like, yeah, I know what it means.
Did he know what it means, or was he just
nodding? I don't
know.
I have no idea.
Huh?
But it was just rad because, like, it's bad enough to have to talk to someone and do all that, but then when that's in the background, you know, you can be, like, called to the huddle at any moment.
How's it going, Chuck? Hey, Eli. Did you finish Lynch's reloading animation yet? I'm just about done.
Attention, Kane and Lynch team! Huddle up! Time to huddle up! Let's huddle up! Oh,
God, you've got to be kidding.
Bullshit! 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 Bullshit!
All right, everyone, huddle. Come on, getting close, closer, closer. I want our noses touching. Actually, Steve, you got a cold, so why don't you leave?
Fine. I don't want to huddle up anyway.
Okay, people, December 14th is coming. We got to get this game out the door. How we doing?
Well, the cover mechanic is pretty sloppy right now. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to address that before the release
date. That's fine. It'll be fun to try and see what you got to do to get them to take cover. Now, who here want to tell me about Metacritic? Who going to tell me about Metacritic? Horatio, you're the PR guy.
Well, we want to get good reviews, so our Metacritic score is high.
That's right. Even Eli knows what that means. More money, more money, more money. So, Horatio, what you gonna do to make sure we get a good Metacritic score?
Well, we have a huge advertising campaign with websites like GameSpot, so we're getting the word out about the game.
Mm-mm, that ain't good enough, baby. I guaranteed IDOS at least a 9, so you gonna need to eat, sleep, and shit Kane and Lynch for me, baby. You gonna lie, you gonna beg, you gonna raise hell, you gonna fuck and suck for that 9.5. Okay, team, back to work. This huddle is over.
He knows this game blows, right?
Steve, quit wiping your nose on your damn sleeve. What are you, 9 years old?
Fuck you!
Like a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a couple months ago, remember, Robert, we were driving through Oakland and the car in front of us is throwing out like full, you know, those jumbo McDonald's bags that you get
when
you're feeding your whole fucking family? Like, they're throwing those out of the window. It was like that old ass game, APB, you know, the first edition, just to like stop the 15 litter bugs. Yeah, then so like wrong. 64 really ounce cups. And Robert's just like, what the fuck is this? Yeah.
Well, you know, I grew up with Don't Mess with Texas, which is some sort of like thing they drill into your brain that if you litter, you will be like shot and buried.
And that's like for real. They're unmarked, not graved.
Yeah.
In Texas, that's like Samaritan not an idle too. Threat.
Yeah, we had these commercials where, you know, it would be like a guy driving his truck down the highway and he throws something out of the car, and then the Texas Rangers Air Force like comes out from the distance and swoops down on them, and it's like, don't mess with Texas. So when I see people throwing stuff out of their car, I'm like, oh my God!
Texas is coming! Yeah.
Wee!
My girlfriend likes Ren Faire, and she's a seamstress, so she's into the whole costume thing.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, oh, we should make you a costume for Ren Faire.
Can I just ask, this might be a little bit personal. Let's just make sure we're clear here. This isn't you at home in drag, right? When you say your girlfriend?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Jeff.
Wow. Was that not nice?
Just when Ryan starts talking more.
I know. I got him to open up. Now I've re-traumatized him. All right, so let's move on to Ryan's big moment. Ryan kind of spontaneously combusted on 1UP.com this week. That was a great blog post.
I did. I was patrolling that joint, and I saw on the front page, like, Ryan Scott, and then, like, damn it all to hell. I
think the post was called Guild Wars Can Die and Go to Hell.
That is what the post was called. I kind of finally snapped this weekend after 2 years of Guild Wars.
Just, wow. What did it?
What happened?
I've played that game so much that I can kind of like see the seams in the fabric finally, and it's
so maybe it's not a fault of the game.
How many years before you saw these seams?
I've been playing it since 2 years. Out, so almost 2 years.
So what broke you finally?
Well, I'm in the in-game area of Guild Wars Nightfall. One of the in-game areas is called the Realm of Torment, which is the...
That might be part of the problem.
The equivalent of hell, yeah, the Realm of Torment, I guess. Yeah,
does it have, like, red floating red platforms? Is it just like a bunch of platforms floating over lava? You gotta, I know it's not a platform.
No, that's in the other Guild Wars game.
Oh, well, it's hell in every video game.
John was just making it up, and it actually is in the game. Yeah, wrong level.
In God
the floating platform lava level is a different
thing. God of War. We call it Hades.
That was the first Guild Wars game.
Hellish platforming in Spawn games for Xbox. I played a lot of shitty games that had hell in them.
Yeah. So you're in this torment.
So I'm in the Realm of Torment.
Realm of Torment.
And I'm as you guys here know, very obsessive about checking all the quests off my log. Mm-hmm. It's kind of personal OCD.
Mm-hmm. Much like your cord thing you were doing
I'm trying to work all the tangles out of this cord. Yeah, okay. I'm going to do it after this podcast
is over. Don't do it right now while you're talking instead.
Anyway, so...
Gotta fix this cord.
So I ran all the way across this zone, clearing out all these monsters along the way, just to get to this one quest NPC.
Okay.
Right, so he could give me this quest to do. And so I finally get to him, and it's like, you know, go kill five of these things over in this other part of the zone. And the five of these things that I have to kill are, you know, surrounded by huge mobs of, like...
Trash mobs.
10, 12, yeah.
Uh-huh.
10, 12 monsters apiece. And it works out in such a way that, like, you know, no matter how carefully you go and try to pull, like, a select few of them and pick them off, you know, intelligently, you're going to aggro the whole...
Okay.
The whole spawn, you
right.
know? And it gets to the point where, you know, they're killing me. I resurrect way back at the beginning of the zone with, like, full death penalty. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run back. I'm going to be able to kill one. Then they'll kill me again. Then I'll run back, and I'll just keep picking them off one by one until I get to the end.
I see. Like, because they stay dead when you've killed them.
Right.
Okay. Is this even
so you can eventually
though,
beat them by attrition.
Right, exactly. Which is like, at that point, I have to ask myself, like, why am I doing this?
Do you have a posse, though?
I was using NPCs. And I admit that if I were in a group, you know, full of real people.
Right.
It would make this task easier. But
isn't that how, like, guild... I mean, to be fair, isn't it like World of Warcraft, where it's like you have to have a posse, go roll mob deep in those, like, 60-hour raids, 60-man... I get that shit confused, but 60-something raids.
That's how it is.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's no real comparison there, because, wow, you can't have NPCs playing for you.
Right.
You know, but...
Well, one of the whole big draws in Nightfall was that, hey,
the
play
hero
it solo.
NPCs.
No, yay.
Right.
Yeah. NPCs that are AI.
But to be fair, you are at the end boss. I mean, this is an end boss thing, right? So...
This is a normal quest.
This
isn't like a story mission. This is like a normal quest with, like, the standard, like, 2,500 experience quest reward. Like, no different than any other quest in any of the earlier zones.
Okay, so you had a bad quest experience. You had a bad day.
This is one example of many.
It is.
This is just the point. That was the breaking point.
It sounds like you just need a break. That was the most pathetic podcast I have ever heard. Referring to Ryan.
Oh.
His comments about Guild Wars is laughable. Guild Wars is very complex, and it is very possible to beat the encounter that he speak of with the right set of skills and strategy. He is just a clueless noob who should go back to play bread and butter RPGs like Hello Kitty Online and World of Warcraft.
Ouch.
I am too good to take note of what nerds and podcasts thinks of game. I see myself as a masterful, hardcore gamer who has more knowledge than most. And I'm one of the few who are able to grasp the depth of Guild Wars.
He's one of the few? I'm sorry.
I would not expect lesser people to be able to understand, though. I've clocked in over 8,000 hours into Guild Wars now, and I still have not tried more than 5 to 10% of the currently existing skill-based combinations.
8,000 hours?
So you read that right.
Wow.
And the first thing, actually, I interacted a little bit with this hero, and the first thing was to call into question the authenticity of that claim, and he sure enough took a screen cap of his character state, and he had more than 8,000 hours on there, which means we did the math, you know, and there being somewhere roughly around 2,600 hours in a year, you know, 24-hour days, he came close to playing, you know, 365 days without sleep, since the time the game has been released, he's played about 12 hours a day. And if that's not a poop sucker, I can't tell you what is.
Wow. So since I made that post on my blog, there have been huge threads on like GWOnline.net and Guild Wars Guru, a couple of the bigger fan sites, of a lot of people ragging on me just like this guy, but a surprising amount of people who have kind of agreed with the point I made in my blog post.
Because you weren't like saying the game is shit.
Well, no, I'm not like saying the whole game sucks.
Right, you said a section of the end game is like stupid.
Just some of the logic in the end game, you know, just pile a bunch of mobs together, give them the standard reward that we got, you know, back at the beginning of the game.
I think you were just mad at that part of the mission at that point in time, right? I mean, in the same way I took RC Pro-Am back on the Nintendo, it prompted me to grab my controller cord and then take and beat the living shit out of the controller for a while on the coffee table. But then, like, after I was done, I picked it back up and played, you know.
Right.
Played
back to RC Pro-Am.
Because you, actually, since then, you've gone back to Guild Wars, haven't you?
I have. The only time I've logged in since I made this blog post was to check my time played.
To delete all of his characters.
No. All this stuff that I wrote about, you know, like, I actually I heard from ArenaNet by way of their PR director that I guess they were upset about what I'd written about.
Well, you told their game to, like, you know, die and go to hell.
Well, the funny thing is according to him, I have not spoken with, you know, the developers of Guild Wars yet.
Because they're like on a plane coming down here to kill you.
Right. But but they took it as some sort of like personal attack.
Well, again, you told their game to die and go to hell.
Well, the best part you got, you showed me an email. Someone actually said that you were basically going to kill Guild Wars now because of this. That all these people are going to like,
I read this, I think,
quit playing, and they're
on GW Online. Like, this guy was like, God, I just get so scared when the press writes this stuff about this game. I think that it's going to shut down, and the community will shut down, and then I don't know what I'll do.
Like, that's giving you a lot of power there, Ryan.
That makes you a hero of the web.
Yeah.
Ryan Scott can shut down games.
Yeah. There was another guy who said that things like what I wrote make him want to kill himself because he loves Guild Wars so much.
Oh, well,
that's another issue.
You know...
That's a champion of the web right there. Why don't you forward me that, dude?
That's therapy time.
I would have read a few more.
Please log off and see a consultant. No. Not a consultant, a counselor. Can I ask, Sean, what you've been drinking this entire podcast? You've been drinking this thing out of a box.
Something Darren brought into the office.
No, I did not bring it in.
Yeah, you did.
What is that?
Or it was shipped in.
Yeah, it was shipped in. Like, I don't know why I got this, but like basically there's this website called, I guess, a free ad for them, I guess. But
excellent.
There you go.
This is why they sent it. Don't even say it. Let's end it.
Oh, you're right. Oh, if we say it, they're going to get what they want.
This is exactly why, dude. No.
We are not beholden to the man.
And we out.
We are not your shit.
We're out. We're out. No free ads. We're out. Goodbye.
That's it. Pull the plug, Sean. Hurry.
I shall not eat until episode 2 hath been beaten.